Welcome to Kairos Church, where we encourage one another daily to live and love like Jesus. We're so glad you're here. Join us each week as we dive into God's Word and explore what it means to live a life of faithful worship, devoted discipleship, authentic community, and intentional mission. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you in person. Our service is every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You're welcome here anytime. Hope you enjoy the service.
As the kids are headed down, let me take a moment to introduce myself. My name is Lindsay Slocum, and I am the lead pastor here at Kairos, and I am so delighted to see you. I have been counting down to today where as we kick off Advent. This is one of my favorite seasons of the year, and I am looking forward to doing this season with you. I do want to make sure you know on your way out, on that round table on the way out, there are these little cards, and on these cards are all of the times we're going to hang out over the next month. And I am looking forward to seeing you at all of the things. It has tonight's event on there, the worship service that Marchant mentioned, the service for the weary, that's on here, Christmas Eve. Everything is on here. So you can take this home and write it all down in your calendar, and then you can pass this little card on to your neighbor, your friend, anybody that you want to invite to any of these things. So feel free to take one of these. Like I said, we're moving into Advent, and our sermon series throughout this time is called The Weary World Rejoices. And the sermon series is going to follow an Advent devotional that Kate Bowler has put together. And so those are also available back there on that round table. We've printed them out. So if you are a paper person, you are welcome to pick one up and take it. We have also posted them on the first page of the website. And so if you are an electronic person, we got you. And then we're working on it, and I'm hoping by the end of this week, we also will have them recorded and posted on the podcast. So if you are a listen to it while you drive to work person, we'll have you. We will. Just not today. But you're not going to work today, I don't guess. So you're fine. We'll work on it, and we'll have that hopefully within the next couple of days. So we really want to encourage you to take this season to kind of lean in, and what does this look like to really be thoughtful about this time as we are approaching the coming Christ child, and what does that mean for who we are and our time in the Word and our own spiritual disciplines. So I want to invite you to do these things together as a family of faith. And so this morning we're going to start with The Weary World Rejoices. We're going to look at the prophet Jeremiah. But as we do that, before we do that, let's turn to God in prayer. Let's pray together. Holy God, we give you thanks for bringing us here together, and we pray now that as we turn to your word, that the words that are read, the words that are spoken, the words that are heard, that they are your words, that you are at work molding us and shaping us into the people that you desire for us to be. And may this encounter with you be so powerful that we cannot walk away unchanged. In your holy name we pray, amen. We're going to look at the 33rd chapter from the prophet Jeremiah. This is in the Old Testament. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 16. So I would invite you to listen now for the word of the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the true joys of my job is that I get to do a lot of weddings. I've done weddings on beaches and at the lake and in barns and in churches. I even did a wedding in my own living room. I get to do all sorts of weddings, and I love them. I'm so honored that I get to be included in these sacred moments of these folks. But my favorite moments of a wedding are the moments right before the ceremony starts. It is literally every emotion you can possibly think of. It's happiness and scared and excited, and somehow, in spite of the fact I've been preparing for this for months and months, I am unprepared for what's about to happen next. It's all of the things, and it's big, and it's intense, and it's beautiful, and it's sweet, and I love it. A lot of times I find myself standing next to a very nervous groom who's wiping his hands on his pants and he's buttoning and unbuttoning. Am I left over right or right over left? I don't know what to do. And this getting ready. And so in those moments when we're waiting to walk out, I'll lean over and I'll say, I have a secret. I already signed the marriage license. It's done. All you have to do is walk out there. I try and repeat this actually a lot to these nervous fiancés. And I will tell you that this summer, I had a very devastating wedding. About 2 months before the wedding, the groom's twin sister was found unexpectedly deceased in her apartment. Just 6 weeks later, only a couple weeks before the wedding, the groom's father passed away. It was awful. It was a terrible situation, and we talked, and what do we want to do? Do we want to go ahead and have the wedding? Do we want to wait? And finally, the bride and groom decided, no, we're going to move forward. We're going to have the wedding. And so again, in those moments right before the ceremony, I go to find each of them, to pray with them, and to be with them. And I went to find the bride and the wedding director. So I said, have you seen the bride? And the wedding director said, yeah, she wants to be alone. I said, perfect, she can be alone with me. And so I walk into the room and she's looking in the mirror and she's adjusting her veil and she sees the reflection of me in the background. And she turns around and she begins to weep. I said, tell me about your tears. She said, I love him so much. And we need today so badly. There's been so much awfulness. There's been so much sadness. Everything is so hard, and it's not supposed to be like this. Today isn't supposed to be like this. I need today to be beautiful. I need to give this family the gift of goodness. And so I hugged her. I said, you're right. It's not supposed to be like this. But guess what? I already signed the marriage license. We've already made a statement about goodness today. So all you have to do is to walk out there. What that bride was saying is something that we've all felt at some point or another. There are these very real times when we are aware of the fact that the world is not how it should be. We are in these places where we need assurances that it's not all hurt, it's not all despair. We need assurances that there's more to the story, that there's something that will not fail us, something that will hold up in the face of despair, something that will proclaim goodness and love. That's exactly what's happening in this book, Jeremiah, in this text that we're reading this morning. The Israelite people are in a very bad way. Really, the whole book of Jeremiah, they are in this bad way. The city of Jerusalem has been besieged by the Babylonians. It's complete destruction of the homes, of the land. Families have been separated, killed, exiled. People are hungry and without homes. There's this complete sacking of Jerusalem that was more horrific than anyone could have imagined. And what's more, the Israelite people had a role in this. Because before Babylonia conquered their land, the Israelite people had been very distracted by the glitz and glamour and power of Babylonia. They thought, well, maybe we should worship their gods. Maybe we should live like the trendy pagan peoples. Maybe it's okay if we leave behind Yahweh, the God of Israel. Maybe if we can leave Yahweh behind and free ourselves from the burden of caring for the vulnerable people of Jerusalem, and instead live into the shiny life of a Babylonian. Only it wasn't shiny and exciting when the Babylonians took advantage of that, when they attacked them, conquered them, and then exiled them to a foreign land, ransacking and sucking up any bit of life or hope that they had left. And so now in this book of Jeremiah, the people are wailing and they are hurting. They are in depths of despair and they are feeling all too deeply, this isn't the way things are supposed to be. I think Jeremiah could probably stand here today and give us a lot of the same message that Jeremiah is giving all through the book. Certainly there are ways that we believe things aren't how they are supposed to be. Just only a couple weeks ago, we opened up this space on a Wednesday night to the community of Sandy Springs and to the community of Ridgeview Middle School because a sixth grade girl had unexpectedly and tragically lost her life. This past week, in our various homes, we gathered around tables to feast, and yet for so many of us, there was this overwhelming shadow of the absence of a loved one that was all too real. How many people are ending the year swallowed up with uncertainties around employment or illnesses or finances? Our email inboxes are flooded with requests from every nonprofit in our area to contribute to their food pantries because the need to feed our community is greater than ever. Y'all, this is not how things are supposed to be. And so the Israelites cried out lament to God over the destruction of their beloved home, and we too cry out these laments to God for these things that are supposed to hold us steady, but now feel like they crumble. We cry with despair. The Israelites cried with despair, but the scripture tells us so does God. And that all through the book of Jeremiah, that God is also lamenting and hurting that the Israelite people have abandoned their faith, that they have abandoned this life with Yahweh, but that Jeremiah tells us that God is also lamenting that the Israelite people are hurting and suffering, and that hurts. Makes God hurt too. This is why Jeremiah has written this whole book full of these prophecies about how the Israelites have got to stay faithful and stop flirting with these pagan gods, stop inviting these pagan gods in, to stop neglecting their call to live faithfully, to stop neglecting caring for the poor and the hurting, to stop pretending that they love God but then following the Babylonians. This is why Jeremiah keeps saying these things over and over again, but it's also why when we get here to chapter 33, it's also why Jeremiah gives this hope that God says, I want you to know, God says, I've already signed the papers. I've already figured this out. I've already taken care of this. But y'all got to do the work of walking faithfully. The Lord says, the days are surely coming when I will fulfill the good promise I have made. You see what God is saying there? Do you see the hope that Jeremiah is giving us? This God's saying, I have this. I've already taken care of this. And even when the Israelites have a role in it, or even when we play a role in things, those places where our precious homes are crumbling around us, when there is loss and devastation, God refuses to let that be the final word. The deeper truth of the story, the truth that Jeremiah is desperate for the people to hear, is that there is hope. There's always hope because God has already begun the work of reconciliation and restoration. It's a promise given to the displaced, despairing Israelite people. It's meant to steady them. It's meant to steady us, to remind us that even when our present moment feels like ruin, our future is in the hands of a faithful God. And so with patience and with trust, we can look forward to a fulfillment that is not yet visible, but is certain. So we are invited to take hold of that comfort and hope because we know that promise is represented with the coming Christ child. And so that is the call then of this season of Advent. That's why we wait. That's why we do the work of walking faithfully because we know the Christ child assures us that God makes good on God's promises. Advent is the holy practice of trusting God's promised future, even when it seems impossibly far from our present circumstances. And so, like Jeremiah, we will name our suffering. We will name the places where there is injustice. We will not look away from the pain of the world or from our own hearts. But we also will believe that God has already signed the promise to do the work of redemption. And we will dare to walk faithfully toward that which we cannot see. The first senior pastor that I ever worked for, his name was Lane Alderman. He was a pastor to me. He was a mentor to me, a wonderful, wonderful man. And he told me the story of a time from early in his career when he was serving in a church, and there was a high school young woman who found out she was pregnant. And after spending much time with her family, with him, with people in the church praying, she decided that it was best for the baby if she began to engage in the adoption process. At the same time, my friend Lane, he had a friend who was serving at another church, and in that church was a couple who was struggling with infertility, longing, praying, and begging God for a child. The two pastors connected the couple and the young woman, and they all agreed that this couple would adopt the baby. But the thing is, about whatever state it was where they were residing, there was some rule in that state that there had to be someone, a non-invested party, that would receive the baby and give the baby to the new couple. And it was decided that person would be Lane, my pastor. So after the woman has the baby, the young woman has the baby, Lane goes into the room and he picks up the baby. And when he tells the story, he says, in that moment, he is so acutely aware of all the crumbling and despair that had led to this moment. In many, many different ways, for all of the different people, everyone had navigated a very difficult journey to get to this spot. But now, here, he holds this baby. And here is this baby that was a sign to everyone in the room that God has not left us. Here is this baby, a sign to everyone in the room that God is still at work, that we are not abandoned to the destruction of our lives, but that God is always at work. Certainly, it was Lane's honor to hold the baby and share the baby with his new mom and dad. In Advent, we are moving towards the coming of this Emmanuel baby. And this baby is a reminder to us of the promise that God is already at work, that we will not be abandoned to the despair of our lives because God's already signed the papers. It is our job then to walk faithfully. And so we read the scripture, hear the promises of Jeremiah, my friends. The days are coming, says the Lord. The days are coming when sorrow will not have the last word, when justice will rise like a righteous branch, when goodness will break through the ruins, when the weary world will at last rejoice. And so we keep walking toward that promise, trusting that we cannot fail, because God is doing good work and promises to bring it to completion. Friends, this is good news. Thanks be to God.